from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have been warned, we've been buked, we've been scorned. No, but we have been abjured by William Safire in the New York Times. And we've been given our text for today and for the immediate future. Our task now, Safire wrote on Thursday, as citizens of nations burdened with the dirtiest work of mankind, a preemptive attack to finish a suspended war, is to call up the national spirit and determined attitude needed to sustain a great effort. Skepticism, Safire continues, is a fine American trait, and many find patriotic fervor uncool. But the eve of hostilities is the moment for opening the mind to exhortation.
Yeah, let's go!
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, everything that you hear on today's broadcast is said not in the spirit of skepticism, but in the spirit of exhortation.
Yeah, let's go!
Hello, welcome to the show. I know this guy sounds like a wise guy, but...
Yeah, let's go!
Thank you. Thank you. Took the monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzard tried to throw the monkey off his back. The monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Hey, listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in diving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." The buzzard told the monkey, "You're choking me. Release your hold and I'll set you free." The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye. Said, "Your story's touching, but it sounds like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and do right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top." Straighten up and fly right. Straight up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Rock up, good time. Monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye. Said, "The story's touching, but it sounds like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and do right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
Wiping out skepticism and getting into the whole exhortation bag from the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer welcoming you to this, maybe the last of the pre-war editions of Le Show. It would be a collector's item, therefore, who knows? No, I can't say that either. Ladies and gentlemen, let's deal with the cheap stuff first. President George W. Bush at his press conference last Thursday.
We're working hard to bring a diplomatic solution. And we made some progress after all the IAEA asked that the Security Council take up the North Korean issue, and it's now in the Security Council.
Okay, so let's just review, ladies and gentlemen. He's speaking, is President Bush. President Bush, excuse me, of the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, or alternatively,
the IAEA.
The International Atomic Energy Energy Agency.
The IEAE.
Okay. As I said, the cheap and easy stuff we get rid of at the very top, and then we move on. All, as I say, in the spirit of exhortation.
Yeah, let's go!
Dateline Houston. A Halliburton Company subsidiary, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Hey, didn't they have all the construction contracts in the Vietnam War? Yeah, they did. Has won the contract to oversee any firefighting operations at Iraqi oil fields after any U.S.-led invasion, according to a Defense Department source on Thursday of last week. Kellogg, Brown, and Root was widely viewed by many in the oil field services industry as the likely candidate to oversee firefighting in Iraq's oil fields. Halliburton does extensive logistics support work for the U.S. military. Oh, by the way, Vice President Dick Cheney served as Halliburton's chief executive officer from 1995 to 2000. A Halliburton spokesman declined all comment. That's a smart spokesman. That is one. That guy earned his money this week. Here are words to remember, ladies and gentlemen. Stash these away if this does turn out to be the last pre-war edition of the broadcast. You'll want to bookmark this moment just to check back later. Just to say, hey, I wonder if that turned out. Faced with the results of an MTV poll showing that 83% of viewers thought that Iraqi oil was the motivation for war, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, in an appearance on MTV, made the audience a promise. I believe this will be broadcast in where most of you are listening tonight, so that you haven't seen this yet, but it's been taped already. Tony Blair made the MTV viewing audience a promise. Quote, that oil, meaning the Iraqi oil, goes into a trust fund. We don't touch it, and the Americans don't touch it without UN authority. Unquote. Just bookmark that. That'd be nice to check back on that in a little while. Because I think we've said that we don't mind going to war without UN authority, but no, we're not going to touch that oil without UN authority. That would be wrong, wouldn't it? I'm sure you've heard this already, but just in case you haven't, just in the spirit of exhortation, ladies and gentlemen, a key piece of evidence linking Iraq to a nuclear weapons program appears to have been fabricated, the UN's chief nuclear inspector said Friday in a report. It called into question U.S. and British claims about Iraq's secret nuclear ambitions. Documents that purportedly showed Iraqi officials shopping for uranium in Africa, Niger, the African state of Niger, 2 years ago, were deemed, quote, not authentic, unquote, after careful scrutiny by United Nations and independent experts. Mohammed El-Baradei, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, or the IAEA, made that report to the U.N. Security Council. Knowledgeable sources familiar with the forgery investigation told the Washington Post that the faked evidence was a series of letters between Iraqi agents and officials in the African nation of Niger. The documents had been given to the UN inspectors by Britain and reviewed extensively by U.S. intelligence. The forgers had made crude errors that eventually gave them away, including names and titles that did not match up with the people who held office at the time that the letters were purportedly written. Bad forgers, ladies and gentlemen. We got to do better than that. Come on. Can we get some fact checkers for the forgers? Because this really is embarrassing. This is just, I hide my head. Actually, I have Michael Jackson just put a scarf over it, and then it's everything's fine. So the new Europe, the Europe that supports us. The old Europe is France and Germany, as you know. The new Europe. Why, it's the former Soviet bloc nations, Spain, and Italy. Dateline Milan. Mass murderers and other criminals in Italian penitentiaries are making a killing with a new range of clothes and accessories marketed under the name, quote, made in jail, unquote. Citizens in the fashion capital of Milan and other cities around Italy are going mad for the new products, which include T-shirts, trousers, and leather shoes, with the trademark slogan, Made in Jail. As well as items of clothing, the convicts also design and make Made in Jail lampshades, wallets, and dolls. The articles are sold at reasonable prices in shops around Italy and are also available over the Internet. madeinjail.com. That's the new Europe, ladies and gentlemen. That's our Europe. That's the kind of Europe. And you know this story, of course. Liechtenstein is for rent. Not really worthy of comment here. But for our semi-regular feature, Burying the Lead, in which we point out news stories that take what might have been the most newsworthy, interesting aspect of the story, and put it deep, 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 deep down, many, many paragraphs below, where you might not even see it. Thursday's New York Times had a story about Colleen Rowley. You may remember her. She was the FBI agent whistleblower who said, we missed the boat on these guys who were in flying schools before 9/11. Shouldn't we be looking at them? And almost lost her job, but became a famous whistleblower. Now she's written another memo to the head of the FBI, Bob Mueller. And the lead of the story, the point of the story, as the New York Times sees it, is that she alleges that the FBI is ill-prepared for the terrorism that both the FBI and CIA have predicted will follow in the wake, the increased terrorism that will follow in the wake of an attack upon Iraq. Now that's, of course, speculative. We don't know that that's going to happen. She's saying we're ill-prepared for this stuff that might happen. But buried way down is some factual material that I found lead-worthy, ladies and gentlemen. She says she is alarmed. This is like 18 paragraphs in. Colleen Rowley says she is alarmed that the FBI and the Justice Department had failed to try to question either Mousawi or, I believe it's the shoe bomber, Richard Reed, either of them about their Al-Qaeda contacts. They've never been questioned about their Al-Qaeda contacts since they've been in federal custody, choosing instead, she says, to focus entirely on prosecution. Quote, it therefore appears that the government may have sacrificed the possibility of acquiring information pertinent to future attacks in order to conduct criminal prosecution of these two individuals. Although prosecution serves worthy purposes, including deterrence, she says, standard practice in organized crime slash terrorism 101 dictates imaginative, concerned attempts to make inroads into well-organized, cohesive groups, and sometimes that requires dealing with the devil. Lack of follow-through, she continues, with regard to Mousawi and Reed, gives a hollow ring to our top priority, i.e. preventing another terrorist attack. Mousawi almost certainly would know of other Al-Qaeda contacts, possibly in the U.S., and would also be able to alert us to the motive behind his and Muhammad Atta's interest in crop dusting, unquote. So, the lead there would be, we have Mousawi and Richard Reed in custody, and we've never, she alleges, never questioned them about what else they know about Al-Qaeda or other terrorist groups. One of Mr. Massawi's court-appointed lawyers said in an interview, to my knowledge, the government has never attempted to talk to Mousawi after September 11th, which he said he found surprising. So, but that's not, you know, why would we put that on the front page, ladies and gentlemen, because that might be interesting. Now, you know that this broadcast is operating not in the spirit of skepticism, but in the spirit of exhortation. Nonetheless, the following item is presented to you merely for its curiosity value and not to exhort you to do anything. Because I just find it, you know, stuff that's out there. You never know. We, last weekend, were celebrating, we the Americans, were celebrating the capture of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, purportedly number three man in Al-Qaeda, a joint effort by the Pakistani and United States intelligence authorities, and what authorities they be. From the Asia Times, I believe a Pakistani newspaper, from October of last year, as a matter of fact, in the Asia Times. Ever since the frenzied shootout on September 11th, 2002, in Karachi, there have been doubts over whether Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the self-proclaimed head of Al-Qaeda's military committee, died in the police raid on his apartment. Now it has emerged that Kuwaiti national Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did indeed perish in the raid. But his wife and that would be September 11th, 2002, ladies and gentlemen, is this report. But his wife and child were taken from the apartment and handed over to the FBI, in whose hands they remain. Isn't that cute? The guy we captured last week died 8 months ago. Maybe. Maybe not. We've seen a picture of him. Haven't seen him walking and talking lately. But, you know. Just, let's go. Come on, let's go. Oh, let's exhort ourselves into the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Who knows what the Asia Times is anyway, you know? Certainly no L.A. Times. The Dateline Washington, the president of a California college, is sending a letter to President Bush apologizing for an instructor who gave students extra credit for writing anti-war missives to the White House. Citrus College President Louis A. Zellers wrote that Professor Rosalind Khan did abuse her authority in assigning students in her Speech 106 class to write letters to Bush protesting the possible war with Iraq. Students were clear in their understanding they would only receive credit if they wrote protest letters, Zeller said in a letter of thanks to a Philadelphia-based campus watchdog group. Citrus is a two-year community college in Glendora, California. Speech 106 is a required course. Efforts to reach the instructor were unsuccessful. Washington State Representative Lois McMahon, who stayed off the House floor while a Muslim cleric gave the opening prayer last Monday, apologized late this week and asked for forgiveness after her actions and comments that day created a stir, said Imam Mohammed Joban of the Islamic Center of Olympia. I think she did the right thing, he gave Monday's prayer. He said McMahon's apology is one of the signs that she has a good heart and is a good Christian. I think she realized she made a mistake there and she apologized for it, said House Speaker Frank Chop, Democrat of Seattle. Well, if the imam says you're a good Christian, you're a good Christian. That's good enough for me, ladies and gentlemen. Director General John G. Bernander of the Norwegian Broadcasting Corporation has apologized to the Latvian ambassador for an entertainment program pertaining to purporting, it says pertaining here, but they mean purporting, to show glimpses of Latvian culture. Instead, the group was dressed in Cossack uniforms and presented music and songs which were clearly Russian-influenced. The show broadcast during the intermission of the popular Norwegian finale qualifying for the Eurovision Song Contest brought strong reactions in the Latvian press this week. So see, not everybody's obsessed with this Iraq stuff. I've got time to think about more important things, like, are the Latvians being depicted as Cossacks in Norway? Neither doctors nor patients get the proper emotional support after being involved in a medical error, according to the results of a focus group analysis reported in the February 26th issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association. The investigator suggests that doctors should make more of an effort to apologize to their patients, in addition to providing them with appropriate information regarding the nature and cause of the error. Factors preventing full disclosure of medical errors to patients by physicians may include fear of a malpractice suit, concern about professional reputation, and feeling awkward or uncomfortable. Come on, doctors. The politicians are doing it. Let's apologize. You need some exhortation, doctors?
Yeah, let's go!
Getting over you, baby. Well, I can't
can't get off the ground. But they call me the Superman lover, yeah. Say they call me the Superman lover, yeah. But something wrong with me to say. Slow sometimes, baby. I can't keep up with you. I got X-ray vision, and I can see through steel tube. Superman lover, yeah. Call me that Superman lover, yeah. But something wrong, 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 wrong. There's something wrong with me, is it? Yes, it is. Look, look up in the sky. Come on, look, look. And you'll see me flying by. Why don't you just look, look? And if you do, come on and look, look. I'm flying straight to you. They call me the Superman lover. Say they call me the Superman lover. Yeah. But something is wrong with me to see. Something wrong with me, yes it is. Oh, rat on with the rat on him. Why don't you just look, look? And if you do, come on and look, look. I'm flying straight to you. They call me the Superman lover, yeah. Say they call me the Superman lover, yeah. But something wrong with me to see. Something wrong, yes it is, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, the media story of the week, probably, is this. Steve Winfield is a listed member of the Screen Actors Guild, and according to the owner of the Fabulous Voices website on which he once appeared, a translator with a particular flair for foreign accents. Last week, for 17 million TV viewers, he was the voice of Saddam Hussein during Dan Rather's exclusive CBS interview with the Iraqi leader. Putting on an Arabic accent, Arabic accent Winfield, who spoke with a seemingly everyday North American accent when he talked briefly to a reporter, read Hussein's answers to Rather's questions. The translation was 100% accurate, CBS News said in a statement, describing Winfield as one of four translators it hired. The accent, CBS said, was meant to provide a voice compatible with the piece. Winfield was supplied by a translation service, said the network spokeswoman. She said she does not know if he speaks Arabic. Interesting choice for a translator. It didn't violate CBS News standards and practices, the network said. The network spokeswoman said CBS has used such a technique previously. CNN said the network's standards would not allow a translator to fake an accent. NBC and ABC declined to comment. Executives at the two networks agreed the practice is not used in their news divisions. An ABC executive said that when the network hires a translator, he or she uses his or her own voice. A former top TV executive who asked not to be named called the CBS practice bizarre. It reminded me, and a couple of listeners at least, of something else that happened, or may have happened, just a little while ago at CBS, at a bad day at BlackRock, next on Le Show.
Okay, Mr. Nidal.
Sorry?
You're Mr. Nidal, Mr. Ahmed Nidal. You're the actor they hired?
Yes, sir, but okay. I'm sorry. My stage name is Chase W. Ashton.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's not in a... That's not on any of our paperwork.
I know. I changed it yesterday.
Okay. Well, as long as you're the right guy.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
That was a bitch of an audition. By the way, I think I was the only guy there who was a pro. You know, all the rest of them were cab drivers or ran falafel stands or something.
Now, tell me about it. We called the union asking for an agent who represented Arab-looking actors, and they hung up on us.
Oh, listen, don't get me started on the union. They're the ones who made me add the W.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there already was a Chase Ashton, they said.
Okay, anyway, you've been told the drill here?
Well, I think so. I'm reading Osama bin Laden's remarks on the CBS Evening News, so you don't have to show tape of him.
Uh-huh.
What is that, like a government thing?
It's a responsibility thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, look, Dan's coming in any minute. We're going to do at least this first one as a pre-tape, but let's just try a couple of dry runs. Tweak the lighting on the position. Make sure your mic is okay.
All right. Am I reading off the prompter there, or do you want me to memorize, or what?
You know what? I think if it's okay with you, reading off the prompter might give you the right kind of haunted terrorist look in your eyes.
Uh-huh,
you know?
Uh-huh. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I read prompter last year in The Guiding Light. Oh. I played Falafel Salesman Number One. He was surly but sensitive.
Okay, so let's just say we're rolling tape, and Jimmy, the floor manager, will give you the countdown.
Three, two.
Excuse me, is there a problem? Do you want the words bigger? Do you need the words bigger?
No, I just didn't hear one.
Ah, right. The one is understood. You'll hear the three and the two.
Uh-huh.
You give yourself your own one.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
In three, two,
one.
No, not out loud.
Huh?
You give it to yourself inside where your head is.
Uh-huh. Got it.
In three, two.
The American infidels will die a bloody death, and this is the responsibility of all Muslims to carry out. That is the meaning of the jihad I have...
Hold it.
Problem?
Yeah.
Not loud enough? Too loud? Because I make adjustments like that. You know, the director I worked for in my Mentos commercial said he'd never seen any...
Chase, you got the job. But it's jihad, not jihad.
Ah, okay. No, I knew the correct pronunciation,
uh-huh.
But I thought you might want me to, I don't know, play it a little more American.
I think, since this is the news,
uh-huh.
We probably should err on the side of accurate pronunciation, you know?
Okay.
I think that would make us all feel better about doing this.
Sure.
Also, I think you gotta make him a little less friendly, if you can.
Oh, I can. It's just...
Problem?
Dan's coming in.
Okay.
No, it's just
uh-huh.
that, you know, my face is going to be on camera, right?
Well, if it's not, we're wasting a lot of money on these lights.
Well, I just, I mean...
Yeah, what?
If people are watching and they they think I'm Osama bin Laden, you know, and then the next day they see me in Walgreens.
Dan, this is Chase Ashton.
Chase W. Ashton. It's a union thing.
Chase W., welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Great casting, gentlemen. This fellow looks swarthier than a heifer's freckle. So, we ready to try one here?
Okay, I think we are, Dan.
Good.
Chase, the countdown is for Dan.
All right.
You'll take my cue. Jimmy?
In three, two...
You won't hear the...
He knows that.
Terrorist leader Osama bin Laden today issued a new videotape played throughout the Middle East on the Al Jazeera satellite channel. In line with new CBS News policy, we will not show you that videotape, but here is part of bin Laden's statement read by an actor.
The American infidels will die a bloody death, and this is the responsibility of all Muslims to carry out.
Sure.
That is the meaning of the jihad. Sure. I have...
Jesus. No, sir, please.
Hmm?
You're wearing a microphone. It's not a hollering contest we're running here.
I'm sorry. The director said...
That director now says split the difference, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
While we're stopped, he said an actor?
Yes, sir. I know we're not really in the recreation business. In my book, that's always been a Fox thing, but, you know, tell you the truth, I feel teenage groom uneasy about it myself, but it came down marble hard and steroid strong from on high. If we show any more bin Laden tapes, and our White House correspondent's going to be filing his stories from the Starbucks and DuPont Circle. So...
No, that's fine, but my agent said I get billing.
Excuse me?
He said it was a deal-breaker. In a box, he said, Chase W. Ashton as Osama bin Laden. I mean, I did have a box on Guiding Light.
All right, look, why don't we take a quick five?
You know what, sir? Let me exercise my prerogative as managing editor of this broadcast and suggest something that might just help us all out here. Let's take 10.
All right, Ruby, get me the...
Look, it's okay. Maybe for, you know, security reasons, it's better without a credit.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Picking it up and splitting the difference,
right.
And...
Three, two, one.
That is the meaning of the jihad I have proclaimed. I say as a proud son of Arabia that we will fight to the last Afghan. Death to America. Dan?
Okay, look, I don't think Osama bin Laden throws it to Dan.
It was on the prompter.
All right, I'll take care of it. Right. Okay, Chase, if you could just let Jimmy take you over and get your sheet teched down.
Uh-huh.
It's a little white.
Sure, thanks. Hello? Yeah, Elliot. Well, the Letterman people said no? Well, we expected that, huh? What have you heard from Conan?
I think we'll be okay, Daniel.
I hope so, sir.
Well,
tell you what let's do. Let's monitor the other newscasts extra careful tonight, huh? I don't want our bin Laden to be more actory than theirs.
Done deal.
No, it could never happen. How could that ever happen? Ladies and gentlemen, news of the digital wonderland for you. Lying dormant in virtually every digital cable television box in America is technology that can prevent viewers from recording certain programs to watch them later. Soon, several Hollywood studios are planning to tell cable operators to flip the switch. I've told you about this before. I'm telling you about it again. This is from a digitech type website. Gary Merson, who reviews equipment for consumer electronics magazines, found last week that his state-of-the-art high-definition digital television system would not display several channels, including HBO and CBS. Instead, a message flashed on the $8,000 screen, quote, "Notice, copy restrictions prevent the viewing of this program in the high-definition format. For more information, see the owner's manual." Come on, let's all get one. Not an owner's manual. Let's all get a digital thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the other big media buzz is the continuing drumbeat about the attempt of some moneyed people on the liberal side of the spectrum to start a liberal talk radio network that would compete with the Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly kind of talk radio. And I'm abashed to have been advised that a New York radio yacker even went so far in an interview with a deposed CNN analyst, Oh, it's Don Imus and Jeff Greenfield. Who am I kidding? To say that I should be doing one of these shows on this liberal talk radio network. Well, a couple of mistakes there. One we'll talk about later. But two, here's the closest I ever got to that. When this story first floated, my idea of what that liberal talk radio network actually will sound like.
Al Gore!
From the massively impressive Fairness in Media building here in the heart of booming Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Al Gore. Welcome to the Gore Room. Lots of requests for our What's the Rush bumper stickers. They're going to go out, I believe, this weekend.
I still prefer Crush Rush.
Now, Al Franken, we don't want to crush him. We just want to crush his ideas.
I want to crush him.
Okay. Coming up this hour on the phone from the campaign trail, my former running mate is one of the bright, bright prospects for 2004, Joe Lieberman. Did you see this, Al? President Bush.
You mean President Idiot?
Hey, be respectful, Al.
He's the man who stole the presidency.
Down, boy. We may have to put you in the lockbox.
Oh, no.
Anywho, President Bush declared last Thursday Reverence for Life Day. Of course, that's code for we're going to try like hell to get you born, and then you're on your own. I did that right, didn't I?
Yeah, pretty good.
Al's been giving me pointers on timing.
Yes, and he's giving me timers on pointing.
What does that mean?
It means we're on radio. We got 2 hours to fill.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So today, let's see who we're putting in Al's lockbox. That should be whom. Let's try to change that card, okay, Corinna? Got the whole family in the control room today. Uh-huh. There's a tipper in there somewhere. She chooses all our bumper music, of course, making sure that there aren't any lyrical lapses.
But they're just instrumental vamps, aren't they?
Yes, but when you hear the vamp, there's an associative reaction, you know. Your brain starts playing the rest of the tune in your head, and you hear those lyrics. So I think she's on the right track there, and no, that is not junk science. Anyway, the lockbox today...
Yeah, this is good.
Today we're putting in the banana industry. Did you see this? For narrowing down the genetic structure of the banana so... narrowly, I guess the word would be, that the spread of a single fungal disease threatens to wipe out the entire fruit.
Of the whole banana thing.
I feel like I'm talking to Ed McMahon here. Yes, 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 we would have no bananas, as the old song never did have it.
No.
So for an industry that so short-sightedly endangers the world's supply of dietary potassium into the lockbox. Those are fun. I like those. And that's true about the bananas.
Yeah, we check this stuff out. Mm-hmm. Unlike some other people you hear on the radio.
Of course, I started out as a newspaper man. That's what we were trained to do. Check out the facts. You know, that's why if you think the media is liberal, you know, that may be why. Because they check the facts and they know that we're right. Now, that's weird in a way, because I'll tell you something else. When you run for president, you find out all the media around the country that don't necessarily bother to check the facts.
Hey,
but...
hey, Senator Lieberman's on the line right now. Hello, Senator.
Hello. Who am I speaking to? Is this Al Franken or Al Gore? You have a company of Al's there.
Senator, this is Al Gore. Senator, I'm going to call you Mr. Vice President.
Well,
welcome to the Gore Room.
Oh, it's great to be a part of something that's been necessary for so long.
Yeah.
A sane, rational, but yet entertaining outlet for what I like to call the principled opposition.
Oh, absolutely. And let's get right into it, because we've only got a couple hours. The war in Iraq.
Yes.
Now, does the liberal movement think it's inevitable, and does the liberal movement think it's necessary?
You know, I don't feel as though I speak so much as a part of a movement, more as the spearhead of a campaign, maybe even a mission to bring something back to this country that we've been sorely missing. Yeah. By the way, Hadassah and I are so proud that the Tipper is in there making this program at least one place on the airwaves where you can take your children when they're old enough.
Well, you know, when the conservatives just crank out the same talking points all day long, I think liberal people and open-minded folks out there just really want to know whether this war might not be a mistake.
Well, Al, you and I may not seem eye to eye on this, but I voted for the resolution in the Senate. I'd do it again, and I pray that I don't have to do it again.
Okay, let's talk about this move the alleged president is making to put a cap on pain and suffering rewards in medical malpractice cases.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get this straight, Joe, the price is about to go down for committing a possibly disastrous medical mal-something.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't that mean more screw-ups by our admittedly overworked physicians?
Well, Al, the insurance industry was getting socked with these ridiculous $1 billion, $2 billion damage verdicts by these runaway juries who like to see themselves on the news.
Mm-hmm.
They did the only thing they could do in the situation, raise the cost of malpractice insurance for everybody. I think the administration is on the right track here.
Well, they're not on the left track, that's for sure.
What do you think, Joe? Should I put Al in the lockbox?
Oh, don't get me started.
No, don't get me started. But if I could ask the senator a serious question here, Al.
Sure, go ahead.
Senator Lieberman, it's so hard, as Al said, to avoid getting drowned out by all the voices from the right.
Yeah.
But when you hear Pat Robertson and these guys talking about a culture war, it's like... Isn't that just a bad joke? I mean, Pat Robertson's idea of culture is the Museum of Clown Paintings.
Yeah. Where is that now?
No, I mean, sure.
Keep telling you, Al, don't kid a kidder.
You know, Hadassah and I have been blessed with enough children to form their own klezmer band, and as parents, we're on the front lines of that war every day, and our only weapons are the remote control and... In a pinch, the master fuse box for the whole house. So we feel, the way I think millions of parents across this country feel, that we wouldn't mind getting a little help from the government and from Hollywood with that particular struggle.
You know, I wish everybody listening could see those kids. They are such beautiful kids.
Well, maybe if we got a TV show.
Hey, listen, I don't think I'm prejudiced or anything, but I think the Gore Room would be just as good on TV as on radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Little thing we do here every day, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
As you probably know, here's today's...
Hero of Free Enterprise.
Donald William Crandell, Chief Financial Officer of Tensity, the company whose stock has plummeted by about 80% in the last couple years. He gives himself a $20 million bonus and then lays off 500 employees.
I know Don. He's a good guy. A terrible golfer, but a good guy.
Joe Lieberman, I wish we had the whole 2 hours with you today, but I thank you for coming on and showing folks that there's a common sense side to the liberal worldview.
Well, thank you, Al. The show sounds great. I can't wait to listen to it again. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are going to talk to all the Democratic presidential candidates. That's only on the Fairness in Media Network.
I think we should put Joe in the lockbox.
Alan is more liberal than thou attitude. I love it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Fairness in Media Network.
I don't know if we have any more time for exhortation.
Yeah, let's go!
I think that would be the last exhortation we do have time for, because we have to stop. This program is at an end for today. That concludes this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide, throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America on WBCQ, the planet, at 7.415 megahertz shortwave, across North America on Sirius satellite radio, and on your computer whenever you want it at two different locations, or wherever you are around the world, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it'll be just like the International Atomic Energy Agency changing its initials to
the IEAE.
If you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.